Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB and JP, that's the foursome. We'll talk to former Redskins GM Charlie Casley at 8:40, but joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, or in moments, is John Feinstein.
I see him here.
Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game.
Golf. I see Drabby tying up some loose ends with John. There he is. Let's see. John, are you there? Hey, buddy.
Good morning, fellas. We had a little problem because I'm in a hotel, and Matt tried to call me, and nobody answered the phone. So
it's all good.
Here I am.
It's all good. So where are you?
Are you on the landline?
Yeah, where in the world is John Feinstein?
Landline or cell phone? We like landline.
No, it's a cell phone because he couldn't get through to the landline. So I hope it sounds okay.
So far, so good.
I am on my way to Columbus, Mississippi, where tonight I'm going to speak at the Mississippi University for Women, which interestingly has been a co-ed school since 1982. So it's a speaking gig, and then I'll be back home tomorrow.
That must be a big check to get you to go to Columbus, Mississippi.
It is,
John.
A big check. It
nice.
Is. You got it exactly right.
It's
not because there's anything wrong with Columbus, Mississippi,
no,
but because it's a long trip.
Yeah, it is a long one.
It's a long damn trip, but the agenda sounds fun. I'm going to speak to some students in the afternoon, and then it's a fundraising dinner. And I am the first. They've done this dinner for like 21 years, and I'm the first sports person they've ever brought in to speak. So I hope they won't say we'll never bring in another sports person after tonight.
What? Right, John. When was the last time you flew?
Last time I flew, let me think about that for a second. Actually, it was a speaking thing. Last year, I got an offer to go to San Francisco. Whoever was supposed to be their speaker, I knew who it was at some point.
Right.
Had bugged out at the last minute, and the speakers bureau called me and said, "Can you go to San Francisco next
right.
Tuesday or whatever?" And I jumped on a plane and went.
So, in other words,
again,
if the money's
it was too
right,
much money to say no. Yes.
If the money's right, you'll get on the plane. Do you then take like a Xanax? Right. Do you have a cocktail? What do you do for the anxiety of flying?
I've tried them all.
Yeah.
Xanax does not seem to affect me.
Really?
For some reason, yeah. And the doctors up the dose. And so, basically, I just drink.
Yeah.
I get on the plane and I drink. Like when I flew back from that gig in San Francisco, it was an early morning flight, and I got on, and you know, part of the deal was flying first class. So I got on, I looked at the flight attendant, and I said, "Don't hate me, but I need a drink right now."
Yeah.
And she said, "Don't worry, lots of people do that."
Right, right, right.
So,
so
let me guess what the travel time, drive time, did you just say this? I'm not sure.
No.
Travel time from your house in Potomac that I've been to, it's very nice. To Columbus, Mississippi. I'm going to guess 12 hours.
You're right. I hope you're right. I'm eight into it here in Chattanooga, and according to Google Maps, it should take me about 4 to get there.
It's a long haul, man.
This morning.
I don't even know. I would love to know what he's getting paid, because it would cost a lot to get me to go there.
I'm gonna guess 20,000.
Whoa!
I'm gonna comment.
You think that's too much?
I do.
All right, 10.
No. Too much?
That's what he said.
You don't think I'm worth 20,000?
I do, but I don't know.
I don't, quite frankly.
I don't think John's going to go
it's
there.
It's a good thing I'm not dependent on you for speaking.
I don't think he's going to go for 5.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No,
wow.
No, I will tell you that right now. Yeah. I would not go for 5.
It's a lock.
All right, let me just
figures.
Ask you this. Am I in the ballpark?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, where are you going? Is the speech tonight? Did you say it was tonight?
Yes, speech is tonight.
Where are you going to watch the Nats game?
I won't be watching the Nats game because I'll listen to it on the radio after when I'm on my way back here.
Wow. Think about it, JP. He's donking off three
remember,
days.
Remember, I don't live and die with the Nets. It's not the Mets are playing.
I know, but I mean.
So, and it's game one. And as we found out in the Dodgers series, didn't we? Game one doesn't necessarily mean that much.
And he's not getting paid a boatload of money to watch the Nats play the Cardinals.
That is correct.
So, do you have a vibe correct. On no the one... series?
Yes. I think the Nats are going to win this series. I think they're better than the Cardinals. I mean, it's that simple. I think they're better than the Cardinals. I think twice surviving do-or-die games when you were behind in the eighth inning gives you a good feeling about yourself and about your ability to pull out games. They won more games than the Cardinals in the regular season. I do believe they'll beat the Cardinals. Now, if I'm the Nats, I would much rather play the Yankees in the World Series than the Astros. I think the Yankees starting pitching is vulnerable. I think the Nationals lineup and the Astros lineup can get to those starters. Now, their relievers are great, but I would rather not face a team that can line up with Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, even though Greinke was terrible in the division series.
Yeah. That should be a real fun series, too.
Are you a pro Davey Martinez guy, or have you become one? Are you neutral? Where are you on Davey?
I would say I'm neutral. I would say I'm neutral. It's interesting now to read some of my friends and colleagues who were firing him in May and how he's got this great vibe going in the clubhouse. But I think he's learning as he goes, as most managers do. People who become good managers don't necessarily start out as good managers. They become good managers. Joe Torre, failed in a couple of places, Atlanta and St. Louis, before he became a Hall of Fame manager in New York because he's a smart guy and he learned. He also had better players, but still, I think he's learned. I think he has very good players, and that helps a lot. And so I go back to something, believe it or not, that Bucky Dent, of all people, said to me 100 years ago when Earl Weaver was managing the Orioles. And he said, Earl Weaver's probably the best manager in baseball. And that means he might steal you five games in a 162-game season.
Right.
And, if a good manager steals you one game in postseason, then he's done his job. The players have to do the rest.
Right. We have David Sampson. I don't know if you know David. He used to be executive with the Marlins for a long time.
I know who David Sampson is, believe me.
Right. Okay, good.
Why do you say it like that with a chuckle?
Well,
you're not a fan?
No, I don't know the guy. I really don't. I was not a fan of what the Marlins did to get that stadium. My great friend Leslie Visser was in town when he was still running the Marlins. The Marlins were playing the Nationals. And she talked to Sampson. She was writing a column at the time for CBSSports.com. And we were sitting in the press box before the game. And Leslie said, wow, can you believe it? He's only 44 years old or whatever he was. And he's the president of a Major League Baseball team. Isn't that amazing? And I said, Leslie, his stepfather owns the team. And Leslie said, really? I didn't know that. And Bob Carpenter says, hey, Leslie, did you hear man landed on the moon?
Right. Well, clearly.
So that's why I chuckle when I hear the name.
Right. Well, and clearly he's a character, right? He's a guy that was on Survivor. And you can just tell by talking to him that he's a character. But I value his insight when we have him on the show. And his point with the managers is that a lot of these decisions today are way different than 20 years ago with the analytics and everything else and with the way front offices are involved these days with their research and development teams and everything else. All these decisions are pre-made. I mean, a lot of them. They're going to go five innings with Sanchez, and then they're going to go Corbin for two. And if it works out, then they're going to go. I mean, there are still decisions they have to make. But for the most part, largely the game plans are plotted out, and the role of the manager is mitigated even more.
Well, the role of the manager in most places has definitely changed because of analytics and because of front offices getting more involved. There's no team in baseball that's more like that than the Astros. But there are still seat-of-the-pants decisions managers have to make in late innings of a close game.
Yeah.
And that's where managing comes into play, particularly in postseason where you expect to be in close games. You don't expect 13-1 like the Cardinals and Braves. Most nights in postseason. But the other part of it is, for all that analytics are involved, you still have to create a culture. I hate that cliche, but you do have to create a culture in your clubhouse.
So true.
Just as you have to create a culture in your locker room, in a football team, a basketball team, a baseball team, a hockey team, whatever it might be. And that's where managers rise and fall most of the time. I mean, Dusty Baker had a terrific culture,
right,
in the Nats clubhouse, and they just never got it done in postseason, and that's why he's not here anymore. Davey, according to everybody, has created a good culture, and that's an important part of being a manager.
Speaking of the opposite, Bruce Allen spoke for the first time in quite a while on Monday, right? We all know how awful the culture is there, despite him saying it was
damn
good.
No, but it's damn good.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to get sort of, you know, I mean, nothing new there. I sit there. He actually put me to sleep. I was waiting all day for it, and it was so boring. I couldn't believe it. I just fell asleep. But he's just a do-nothing.
Yeah, I think he's a great stand-up comedian. I think he missed his calling.
Yeah, well, I
mean, he should have finished that press conference by saying, I'll be here all week, try the veal.
Right. Well, I actually get fired up when people say he's a great politician. I go, no, he's not. He's a terrible politician. He's a terrible salesman. I don't buy anything he says. I mean, I think everybody sees through him.
I think at this point everybody sees through him. But remember, you know, if you look real closely, you can see Dan Snyder pulling the strings right behind his back.
Right.
Because he doesn't say anything unless Dan tells him it's okay to say it, or Dan specifically tells him to say it.
Right.
And you know, here's the other thing that bothers me. This is my what bothers me this week thing. You know, when he was asked, why isn't Dan here? You know, he gave that smarmy, you know, well, because I'm here answer. Mm-hmm. Dan Snyder owns this team. Okay, he's owned it for 20 years. We all know what he's done to, forgive the expression, the culture of what this franchise was. It was one of the great franchises in sports, not just in football. And he has a responsibility. He has a responsibility to the public to come out of hiding and say, this is what we've done. This is why we're doing. These are the mistakes we've made. This is how we hope to make things better. Not his mouthpiece. He's the one who should be there answering the questions and telling people what he thinks and whatever it is. And you know, if you're the owner of a team, now Steve Bisciotti doesn't talk a lot to the media. He thinks that's the job of his general manager and his coach. But every year at the end of the year, he has a State of the Ravens press conference, and he answers every question that he's asked about what's good about the team, what's bad about the team, what he wants to do with the team. I think every owner in sports should at the very least do that. You don't have to be Jerry Jones and have your own radio show every Monday.
Right.
And, you know, but you should be talking, especially when the team is in crisis. And this team's in crisis right now. When you fire a coach, you're in crisis. And for him to be hiding behind Bruce is an embarrassment. He should be embarrassed, but I don't think Dan Snyder's embarrassed by anything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I don't think I've talked to D about this before with the NFLPA. I don't even think the NFLPA has access to sort of like his numbers, like the true numbers of how he's balancing everything. We've heard rumors that he's taking out loans just to make payroll. Is there any way that can be investigated? I mean, maybe that's a way we can kind of move on from him if he's just completely mismanaging. Can the NFL step in? Like, what can we do here besides a scandal?
Well, the NFL could step in, you know, if they have evidence or somebody comes to them, another owner, whomever it might be, and says, look, I think Snyder's cooking the books or whatever it might be. I mean, I'm obviously making stuff up. Of course they can. And you know, you could, the owners could force him in theory to sell. And just the way Donald Sterling was forced to sell the Clippers.
Yeah, that was a scandal, though.
That was a scandal. But in theory, a league can force an owner to sell the team if they've got something material on them. And they can't just force them to sell the team because they're bad.
What if,
the Clippers were bad for years.
What if they're just mismanaged, though, and they're hemorrhaging money and they're going, this is just bad for the league?
No, they can't. I don't think that's
a good enough. Probably
not enough.
I'm making this up. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. But I don't think that rises to the level. I mean, if that were the case, then there would be a lot of teams thrown over, a lot of owners thrown overboard in every sport. Because there are always bad teams. And, you know, the thing is, in baseball, there are plenty of teams that have been mismanaged. I mean, look at the Marlins, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. But because of the luxury tax, they're protected financially. And you know, there were years ago when Carl Pohlad owned the Twins. He was taking the luxury tax money and putting it into his own businesses, not putting it into the baseball team. And finally they came in and said, no, you can't do that. You know, and there's no luxury tax in football because everybody's making so much money.
Right.
So it's that much harder. But you'd have to find something clinically wrong with the franchise itself, with the business, not just with the football team.
Do you have a name in that you've heard that makes sense that could be the next full-time head coach of the Redskins?
Well, you know, they need a coach and they need a general manager. They can't let Bruce and Dan be involved in football decisions. Again, if they're going to do it right. Mm-hmm. Other than like when they signed Alex Smith, Doug Williams was in charge of the scouting staff at that point, and they all got together and said, we want Alex Smith. They went to Dan and said, this is the guy we want to get. And he agreed because it was a big financial investment. And so when the owner's going to make a big financial investment, of course he has to sign off. But in terms of day-to-day operations, you need a real general manager. You need a real coach. I think Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach, no matter what's going on with the Steelers. I think if they were to hire him as a coach, that would be terrific. As far as the general manager is concerned, you guys got Charlie Casserly coming on at 8:40. I mean, he's the expert on general managing. And he'd be in a better position to tell you who the best young executives in the league.
We'll ask him.
You should, because he'll know.
Yep,
yeah.
He should know.
I mean, I'd love to see Charlie come back, but that won't happen.
Yeah, I'd love to see him too.
Remember, he and Norv handed over a good football team to Snyder in 1999.
Right. Yeah.
A team that made the playoffs and won a playoff game. And then, you know, then he went out and did all the things that he did. He signed Jeff George and signed Dion when Dion was mostly over the hill. You know what happened. But he and Norv had built a very good football team.
Yeah, and then it all came apart. And I think he's gone on record that Dan did apologize to him, said, I got rid of the wrong guy. You know, ultimately, he said that.
Yeah, well, so then the next thing he should have done was said, tell me what I should do, Charlie, because you know more about football than I did.
Right, right.
You know what's really damning about Bruce Allen's record? Vinny Serrato had a far better record. And he was universally viewed as a boob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing.
I know with good reason, I might add.
Right.
That's the thing is that, you know, I know we got to run here in a moment, John, but, you know, everyone is now, it's gotten to the point now where it's universal, soccer moms, people who don't pay attention, everyone knows that Bruce stinks.
We didn't have one person. Right. We threw out a challenge on the air.
One person defend
Bruce Allen. Like,
right.
Can you,
right.
Nobody could call in and make a case.
Right.
And it's funny because we joked last week about my two-word column about what was wrong with the team,
right.
Dan, period, Snyder, period. You guys know how Twitter is. There's always somebody trolling you. Always somebody who says, you're wrong. Not one person.
Yeah, right. But that's
not one person, and many people suggested it was my best work ever.
Right. But that was my point, though, is that it's now gotten to the point where we all are in agreement on something, that Bruce has got to go. But what I think people are misunderstanding, some are, is that Dan's still there, and he's the root. All Bruce is the mouthpiece for Dan, so it doesn't really change.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless somebody convinces Dan, look, you've screwed up for 20 years. Every single person in your hometown, where you grew up, is against you, is against what you're doing and how you're doing it. So why don't you sit down and say, okay, I'm lucky because I'm young and I can change.
Yeah, and go on your boat. I know he likes to be in Europe or whatever. Go hang out in Europe and then just come back and see the results.
Come back and see the results. And at the end of the season, sit down with the media and talk to the public and say, this is what we did right. This is what we did wrong. This is where we're going to improve.
Yeah.
Be as my mother would say, be a mensch. Mensch is a man. Be a man.
Right, right.
That makes too much sense.
Yeah. All right.
I know.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Good luck with the speech.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yep. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Remember, a little bit later in the show, Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, is going to join us. He joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo. And, as John teased, Charlie Casserly from the Redskins GM at 8:40 here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Hope we can see you on Sunday at 11 o'clock in Stone Ridge at the Glory Days Grill. Cake's not going to be hanging out. Doing our Junkies pregame show, previewing Redskins, Dolphins, talking fantasy football.
Yep. Swing by. Say hi to Drab. He'll talk your ear off about Seahawks, Browns.
While 1 o'clock game.
Glory Days Grill. So we're hoping to see everybody out there this weekend, this Sunday.
Do need to mention once again the Washington Mystics. We talked about it at the top of the show. Congratulations to the Mystics.
Yep. Give them props.
None of us are going to front like we watch a bunch of Mystics games.
No.
I watched my first one last night.
And I have never watched a Mystic game, but I feel good for them. I feel good for Elena Deladon. I feel good for
the town,
Coach
the fans.
Tebow, the fans.
The MVP was
John Wall and Bradley Beal was out. You know, Emma Messiman, is that her name?
Niesman, maybe? I'm not exactly sure.
So anyway,
how you pronounce her name.
I feel good for all of those girls.
Yep, certainly do.
Yep.
Dude,
that's awesome for them.
It's silly that you win.
Yeah.
DC racking up some championships.
Congratulations to Ted Leonsis. Ted's the one bringing the championships. We were talking about the owner of the Redskins as compared to Ted. He's got the Caps, who won the Stanley Cup. Okay, the Wizards are going through a bit of a rough patch right now. Well, they were in the playoffs a couple seasons ago. It's not like it was...
A couple seasons ago. That's your grasper.
Well, I'm just saying. It's not like it's been 10 seasons since they've been... Teams like Sacramento are worse off. There have been teams that have been worse runs than the Wizards. When Scott Brooks was in his first year, and I think this is year four, they got
the
second round of the playoffs.
Is that when they won 49? Or was that the second
I think
year?
That might have been the second year.
Yeah. They didn't go for that 50. I wanted that 50 because I know you're going to look back on it and go, should have got the 50.
Right, because you still say, still haven't had a 50-win season in 30 years or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, good job for the Mystics. And EB points out they also won the Arena League.
Ted racking up rings over there.
He is, yes.
A bigger trophy case.
They have a much better culture than the Redskins, that is for sure.
And John was kind of downplaying and saying he didn't like the cliche culture, but it's so true. Culture is everything. I think culture is everything with
every
team.
Oh, it means a lot. It's huge.
Yeah, it is a cliche, but it's also a real thing.
By the way, since I posted those pictures on my Twitter of our office, at GlassJoeJP, if you want to check it out, I'd say about 75% say uncommon. There are people who work in regular offices, and I prefaced it by saying, you know, over basically half of our lives and the majority of our professional lives, mm-hmm. we've been working in radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our very first interview in radio, the four of us showed up to WJFK
radio
in 1996. And didn't we show up with suits?
Yeah, we were dressed up.
Jim McClure and Jeremy Coleman basically laughed. They're like, what
they
are you
mocked,
doing? What do you got?
This
is radio. Suits. There were guys like wearing shorts and t-shirts.
We didn't know. We were nervous.
Right.
I was like, no idea.
You're trying to make a good impression.
But if you go over to WTOP, though, they probably are in suits.
Maybe, right. But
we were in guy talk and sports talk.
Right. But I prefaced.
Alt rock.
I prefaced the statement about the
guy wearing
the junk in every nook and cranny of the office that to me, it's kind of embarrassing. To me, like if I was running the show, I'd say, that's unprofessional. Let's go take it out to a dumpster. Let's not just have a valley of broken chairs. But there were some people who did tweet back and say that it's not uncommon in their office. Now, the majority said, that's a show. That looks like
But also, you got to realize, there aren't really a lot of visitors that come through here. There aren't. There are some. We'll have occasional guests.
Okay.
And there'll be occasional client. So
they keep the break room nice and clean, nice and organized.
Well, there's a guy. He's either a sales guy or sales assistant or something. That's his thing, man. He's like JP.
Radio
he's a neatnik. He's in there and he's always cleaning. And I don't think it's his job. I just think he likes that area. You know who I'm talking about. He wears the short pants.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Sammy.
Yeah. What's his deal? What is his title? Like, is he a sales guy?
Account executive, yeah.
Yeah, he's account executive here, and that's his thing, man. He likes to keep that joint
clean. He's always
clean.
Here early.
He's early,
good
and
for
he,
him.
He's cleaning.
Keeps it like Jason's Kitchen in Ashburn.
He does.
Yep.
He keeps it that way.
I am a neat freak.
He always has paper towels in his hand every time I walk into the kitchen.
He takes a lot of pride in that kitchen.
Yeah.
And good
anyway,
for him.
So maybe it's not entirely uncommon because some people tweeted back. If you're curious, @GlassJoeJP, I took four pictures. I just walked right down the hallway, picture to the left, picture to the right, walked down the hallway a little more, picture to the right, picture to the left, and that's what you get in this office. Anyway, huge game tonight.
Massive.
And we haven't talked about it enough this morning. It is Anibal Sanchez against, who's the guy? I've never heard of this pitcher.
Miles Michaelis is his name.
He's 9-14 with a 4-1 ERA, so not terrible.
I like my chances against this guy who's 9-14. I know this is supposed to be an era where you don't care about wins and losses.
Yeah.
But I think you got to like your chances.
You look at the ERA. That's what I look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're forced to throw him because of who they had to use in the Braves series. Look, I think you like your chances.
I did read.
The only thing that I am concerned with is the possible weather. Now, it's going to be cold. I heard it's going to be in the mid-40s in St. Louis tonight, and there could be some precip. So you're kind of concerned over that.
I did read, because I asked this question of Jason. So when you face the Dodgers, you face all of these left-handed batters.
Yep.
And that's why I thought that you would have preferred to have more than one lefty coming out of the bullpen beyond Doolittle. And ultimately, they use Corbin twice in relief as a lefty coming out of the bullpen. But it looks like the Cardinals... They do an alternating. So much like the top of the Nats lineup is right-handed batter, left-handed batter, right-handed batter, left-handed batter, they do that from 1 to 9, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So you...
Well, Fowler is... I think I said earlier Fowler's a lefty. I think he might be a switch hitter, and he can lead off. Wong is a pest. Goldschmidt's a stud. Ozuna's a stud. DeJong's a stud. Who am I missing? They brought up this guy, Tommy Edman, who's been a stud. Molina could be a Hall of Famer. Just comes up with big hits. So, I mean, Carpenter's always been a big game type of a hitter.
They have two lefties, Wong and Carpenter, and Fowler's the switch hitter in terms of their regular lineup.
Yep.
And if
they played Edman.
I just was reading
Edman's
this article.
A switch hitter.
Tommy Edman's a switch hitter.
Just reading this
Matt
article.
Wieters.
Yeah, USA Today just said the Cardinals matched up with the Braves lineup that was dangerous on both sides of the plate, alternated right and left-handed batters from 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did in the previous series.
Wieters' power numbers this year are pretty strong considering his number of his at-bats.
I think he had 10 or 11 bombs.
He had 11 bombs and only 168 at-bats. Pretty strong.
Yeah. Nice little backup for Molina because Molina played a bunch of games. I don't know. I just think that I feel good about tonight because you're going against Michaelis. Michaelis was awesome last year. He was 18-4 with a much lower ERA, but this year he's not the same guy, and I feel good about tonight. Anibal is going to throw 72-mile-an-hour changeups. So, you know, that's
worked
not
against the Dodgers.
That's not what teams are used to. So hopefully he can give you 5 pretty strong innings, and then who knows after that.
You know
do
what?
You think do you think there's like a hangover from game 5? I'm just judging this on the phones, okay? That – It much like the wild card game, raucous, sold out, right?
I know, I asked this question.
And then I think game 3, which was their first home game in the NLDS, had a huge turnout, right? Sold out. And then game 4, all of a sudden, it was like 5,000 empty seats.
I think game 3 sucked the life out of them.
Is this on the road? Is that all the emotional energy expended, you know, from people that actually stayed up, not like people like Cakes who fell asleep in the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
But like that emotional energy, do you think that we're in like a little bit of a hangover?
I think
right
they
now,
gather themselves. No, they're gathering themselves for
I
tonight.
I think everyone is all in for game 1 tonight. Some guy just texted me because where's the watch party tonight? And I said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee every bar you go to in D.C. is going to be a
can
watch
we
party.
Can we confirm that Nats Park is having a watch party?
I would not assume, heard anything
I would
about
assume
that.
They are. Can we shoot a text over that? By the way, has Harrelin responded?
Not yet. Oh, that's right, because that guy hasn't called back yet.
I looked on the Nats website.
Was that a dupe call?
I think he was.
He just wanted to plug his business.
Yeah. That was the same guy that was going to take you to Augusta years ago.
Yeah.
We get duped so easily.
Private jet.
I've seen nothing on the Nats website about a watch party. It doesn't mean it's not happening, but
I don't know why they would do that. What I would say. Every single place in town, if they have a TV, it's going to be a Nats game. The Nats game is going to be on. So anywhere you go, it's going to be hopping, I would assume.
Right, but if they're having a watch party, that would be kind of like the official spot.
Yeah.
There's no watch party.
There is no.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
If not an outside.
Where's the watch party with AWOD tonight? Pamplona tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Pamplona.
There you go. Go to
Pamplona.
Well,
there goes the soberish October. That goes out the window then, right? Because you can't control yourself at Pamplona.
It was ish.
Right,
the whole
time. I didn't drink last night, so I get credit. You know, a thirsty Thursday with no thirst.
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised that you stayed strong and you held up on that one.
That is shocking.
But tonight, you're acknowledging you're going to make it 11 days through sober-ish October.
As long as it follows my addendums, rule number one, there must be women present. Rule number two...
I don't even think you're using addendum correctly.
I don't think he's using it properly either.
You mean sort of your caveats is what you're saying. Not like addendums.
I don't even think caveats would be right. It's his main premise. Like an addendum is something you add on to your main premise. Your main premise is you're not drinking unless there's chicks around.
That's called your mantra.
I think it's addendums to my sober October.
Fine.
I mean, maybe. I mean, it kind of works, but it's just weird. It's just weird. But
I'm not going to be sober if they win.
You're acknowledging tonight, though, you're going to fall off the wagon tonight.
I mean, if they're winning.
If they're losing, you're going to fall off the wagon. Because you like to pregame. You like to act like you're a big silly.
Don't act like you're going to go to Pamplona and sit there for 3 hours plus during the game and then start drinking if
Here's
they
the
win
only
at the
way,
end.
The only way he'd significantly cut down his drinking would be if Chuck Lee cut him off.
Right.
Because he would have to start spending money.
Right. Right. You want to just threaten
that? Yeah, but
then
he would just pregame, buy a cheap bottle of vodka.
You know, if we
at
told Chuck to cut you off, he'd cut you off.
Well, that would be bad for business.
You're not that important to his business.
I don't know about that. I wasn't there last weekend. They've been hitting me up all week.
You're kidding.
They need the prince back at Pamplona. That's why I'm wearing the sweatshirt today.
Oh, my God. Unreal.
They were not happy when I announced Sober October. They were
really?
You're our biggest drinker.
Right. Yeah, but you're not going to make it through. All right, so it's over. You're falling off the wagon tonight. That'll be where AWOD is. He'll be at Pamplona. Jason's right, though. We've tried to throw out there and troll for some Nats calls this morning. I've been disappointed. I don't know what it is. I think people are still on the high.
It's a hangover.
I think people
are
still on the high of the win.
Yeah.
And you're not really quite realizing, oh, my God, they're playing tonight. Plus the fact that it's on the road, so people aren't as jazzed up, like, driving to work. You know what I mean? As the evening progresses.
And it's best of seven, so it's like you can breathe a little bit. A lot of emotional energy
quick,
spent.
Though.
It was a road game in game five elimination game, but a lot of emotional energy spent. So it's like lay back a little bit. By the time Monday comes around for the home game, there's already going to be two games in the book.
Let's go around the
room.
When
we do the show Monday, it could be dire straits down 2-0.
Yeah.
It could be riding high 2-0. Or it could be 1-1, did accomplished what they needed to do.
I know we got Charlie. I just want Jason put me in for the 250 because I want to stay on it because it was a good luck charm.
All right. So you and I are both in for 250 on the emotional hedge.
I'll take the emotional hedge on
the
Cardinals.
Which will pay us back 250.
Right. So that'll get back a little bit of my money from the last. And if they win and we're going to the effing World Series, of course it's worth $250.
Of course it is.
And then I won't get a credential of that.
By the way, every Nats fan listening should do that. If
hedge
you're a huge,
it,
of course you do that. You find your bookie, you find some way to do it. Emotionally hedge it for $50, $100, $200, $1,000, whatever it's worth to you for them to go to World Series.
Right.
It only makes sense.
And if people want to contribute, they could pay for the emotional hedge. Eric-Bickle-3 on my Venmo.
I mean, that's just bottom feeder central.
Do I need to throw out my Venmo too? I'm not doing that.
All right. We've got Mike Rizzo joining us at 9, the Nats GM. But next, it is Charlie Casserly, NFL insider, former GM of the Redskins, right here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Up on the roof. Up on the roof. When this soul.
Obviously, Nats has been front and center for us, but it's still a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. And talk a little football with us. Former GM of the Redskins and Texans, Charlie Casserly, now an analyst for NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hello. Charlie, also a big Nats fan.
That's
We know he's enjoying the run.
How excited are you about the Nats?
Oh, fired up. Hey, I'll give you two things. It's the best team they had.
Yeah.
No question about that. You don't have Gio Gonzalez pitching critical games. Think about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then when they lost to the Cubs, remember this. Strasburg had two starts. Scherzer only had one. Mm-hmm. Scherzer has two starts. They don't lose to the Cubs. So, this is great.
Right. You, who do you like in this series against the Cardinals? Have you studied the Cardinals at all?
No, I have no clue.
Right.
All I know is we got about, a five-man pitching staff, and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's about it.
They're not touching the Sueros and Rainey's. Well, actually, Rainey got a little run the other night. But the B-ball
we were behind in the game, though. That's why, right?
Right.
Yes, it didn't matter at that point.
Yeah. Charlie,
anyway,
just to kind of compare and contrast, we're going to have Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, on. The Nationals have at least been to the playoffs five of the last 8 years. One would say probably a pretty good culture. But over in Ashburn, Bruce Allen says the Redskins have a damn good culture. How do you see it?
Well, no question the Nats have done a fine. I mean, even years they're not in the playoffs. I mean, they're a winning team. They've had a run here of 8 years where, you know, they've done well. And, I think with the Redskins, it's hard to, you know, rationalize the losses, et cetera. But they've had some good drafts the last couple of years. And maybe the light at the end of the tunnel and the famous saying is not a train coming on. It might be the light at the end of the tunnel. Because I believe in Haskins. I have no question about that. There's a young nucleus there, and they have drafted well recently. So sometimes you just need to put the thing together. I'm not here to dump on Gruden, but I think that if you just watched a little bit Callahan's done there, you've seen a sudden change in how things operate. Mm-hmm. And I think that has an effect. And I don't know if they'll hire Callahan in the long term or not, but they need a coach like that, an attention to detail guy. Take care of the little things. You can't have a guy run free every week for a touchdown in the secondary. Now, I have to say this. It happens in Baltimore right now, too. But we know they have a track record of being better.
You know, we had I'm sorry, Charlie. We had Feinstein on last break or the break before that, and he said you'd be the perfect guy, and he's right, to ask. I'm not going to ask you to dump on Bruce. I'm not going to ask you to dump on a professional colleague, you know, on any level. But a lot of people want to move on from Bruce. The record dictates it's time to move on. If it weren't you, Charlie, because we'd advocate you, of course. But if there, of the young GM candidates out there, I guess they don't even have to be young. Who are the prime GM candidates that aren't over? They say they don't go to a Kyle Smith or somebody that's already in the building. You go outside the building that the Redskins will. If you were to put together a search committee, who would be the two or three names on your list?
Yeah, I can't give you that because I am on a search committee for the league. Okay, and we had a meeting this week, and we
let's pump them up.
Submitted
let's promote
our list.
The guys.
No, well, I can't do that. So now, if the league says we can do it, then I certainly will later. But right now, I can't talk about that.
Ooh,
so,
I'll throw you a name. He's my buddy. I play basketball with him. But I think he worked for you a long time ago. My guy, Jamal Stevenson, works with the Vikings.
Look at JP putting in a good word for his pal.
He's not going to comment.
Jamal is a very talented young guy who has a bright future. But I'm not going to get into names.
Would you agree that just by, I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but just by record, it's time to try something different over at Redskins Park?
No, I don't believe in firing people because of a record, okay? You got to understand it. Now, there's been a lot of circumstances. What I'm looking at is right now, the last three drafts have been good. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you just have to keep building on those, and you've got a quarterback to work with. So that's the part I like. I think that a totally different style of coaching is needed, I hope we're going to see it.
Right.
Obviously, we got to see what happens here. With Callahan, and then you know who they decide to hire. I mean, it's a critical hire.
Right.
Question about that.
So you said that you're very high on Haskins, and that's great. We all want Haskins to succeed. But we've heard it seems like the coaches that at least are with him on a day to day basis. It seems like a consensus that he's still not ready. We saw him thrust into action against the Giants game. I'm not sure he was quite mentally prepared to go into that game. But whatever, it's first outing, rookie struggle. What do you make of the reports that he's just like Colton Case are better, which is laughable to some of us because Colton Case, God bless him, they're just sort of journeymen. What does that mean to you? Are they just not giving Dwayne the proper, you know, respect? Or what is it? What does it say to you?
Okay. Here's the thing. Haskins was the most improved rookie quarterback from game one to game four in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can't compare him to Daniel Jones. They came from different programs. They were prepared differently. Jones was the most prepared quarterback coming into the draft. Okay.
Right.
And he's played well. He's legit. He's going to be fine. Okay. Haskins has the bigger upside. Now, Haskins went into that game, in my opinion, totally unprepared to play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how's he going to play? He's going to play like he's not prepared.
Right.
Right.
It's that simple. Okay. So, they haven't had a plan. They're just, you know, he throws scout team. I don't even know if he'll do that if you have three healthy quarterbacks. So I think they really don't want him to play this year. Take the year, sit the year, be a red shirt, and then begin here. Mahomes was totally unprepared to play his rookie year. He played one game late in the year where they got him prepared, gave him all the reps with the first team, sat Alex Smith, and then he went and played, and played pretty decent in the game. If you want him to do something like that, then that's the way you're going to do it. You know, Tony Romo never played as a rookie. Mark Rippon never played as a rookie. Aaron Rodgers didn't play until his third or fourth year.
Right.
So, you know, it's not unprecedented. He's not ready to play because, he didn't come out of a college program that put him in a position to play. Same thing with Mahomes. Okay. And then they haven't prepared him to play.
Right.
Outside of preseason.
People are taking it as a shot against Haskins, though, right? So the diehard Redskins fans, they're saying, oh, well, you're just taking a shot. It's not a shot against Haskins. It's just everybody's.
It is what it is.
Everybody's trajectory is different. Everybody's journey is different. Everybody's background is different. And I agree with you, Charlie. If it takes a year to develop him or whatever, that's not a knock against him, per se.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just what I think, and that's my opinion. I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Right.
Okay, when you have your opinion, you don't care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah. Right, right.
So
right.
I mean, that's the way you do it. I mean, you have to have your opinion on things. That's all.
Right.
So.
In your opinion, just an opinion, who's the best team in the NFC right now?
It's hard. It's a hard question.
I'm going to go with New Orleans, and I'll tell you why. Last 2 years. Fluke things have cost them games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I beat on a Hail Mary, okay? And then you can argue that the penalty cost them the game. And that's a legitimate argument, okay, in the Ram game. Cost them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I look at that team, and it's pretty much the same team. You're never going to have the exact same team. And Bridgewater's a good quarterback now. This guy's a playoff quarterback in Minnesota and got hurt. And I wrote in my column that'll appear on NFL.com today, he's better than Nick Foles. Clearly better than Nick Foles. Okay? So I don't know what that means, by the way. But so he's got him the bridge until Breeze comes back. So I like them because they've been there, they've been close, and they're good right now, and the head coach is battle-tested.
Hey, what's your read on Kirk Cousins and the Vikings situation? I joked about it. I felt like Adam Thielen bullied him into throwing the ball to him, but it actually, that's probably in the benefit of the Vikings. It seems like the coach doesn't entirely trust him. How do you see that Vikings team, which, you know, they were on the precipice a couple seasons ago?
Well, the defense is legit. That's the first thing. They have a championship defense. They want to run the ball. They got an all-pro running back. The offensive line's kind of average. They have two really good receivers. They're good at tight end. So it comes down to Kirk. And what has Kirk done? Kirk's been Kirk when he was here. In pressure situations, this guy has not come through. When you talk to people that play him, give me what you got to stop. Cook, and we want the ball in Cousins' hands. That's how people view him. So, and he'll make some dumb throws like he did in the opener.
Right.
Okay? For an interception there. So that's the thing he has to overcome. Their idea is to run the ball, play action, because he's high in play action, which all quarterbacks, by the way, should be high in play action, because there's no pass rushing guys in wide open at that point. So they're trying to get him to be in that mode, have success doing that, build confidence, and then hope they can get over the hiccups, like especially in pressure situations in the red zone. Yeah, Zimmer will wear it on his sleeve now. You better be mentally tough to play for him.
Right.
He wears it on his sleeve, so.
All right, Charlie. Appreciate the time as always. Charlie Casley.
Thank you, buddy.
Check him out. NFL Network, NBC Sports Washington.
All right. See you. Have a good weekend.
Got a column on NFL.com. He's busy. All right, coming up next, Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops and GM of the Nationals, as we preview Game 1 of the NL Championship Series right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.